Joe Colvin for the appellant, Joseph Glanton. Does the court mind to address the jurisdictional issue first? Okay. When this case was removed from state court to federal court, it was done so on a federal question because there was numerous issues involving EPA and OSHA violations. That time, I believe that there was a federal question, and I did not oppose removal. Shortly thereafter, in addition,
counsel, that means was one of my questions: why you didn't oppose it at that time? And you say you thought there was a federal question.
I believe there was a federal question
because
the substantial issues were being raised with OSHA and EPA and the enforcement of OSHA and EPA regulations by the Board of Air Quality there in Washoe County. And I believe it was there. And
so you were wrong about the law?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I was wrong, but I did.
Well, it's our job to see
I know.
Whether you were wrong,
yeah.
As well as
yeah.
Well, the judge.
Shortly thereafter, then my clients moved out of state, so we had diversity jurisdictions. We wanted to go to that issue. But at that time, we litigated the thing in good faith. Opposing counsel, they filed their motion. I believe they believed there was jurisdiction, and I believe there was too. It wasn't until I started briefing this question and that I was specifically had to address and say, how do you rely on this, the issues of jurisdiction? I started doing the research. I said, and I discovered that there is no private right of action, and there was not jurisdiction, and I alerted the court to that issue, and that's why I brought it up. However, the court asked us to review the Rains decision and the, excuse me, Your Honor, the Grabo decision of the Supreme Court. Under Rains, we don't have jurisdiction, but under Grabo, if you apply the holding in Grabo, I think there probably
is. What is your argument here? Are you arguing that there is jurisdiction?
Yes, I believe there is jurisdiction.
You're arguing the wrong side of this.
Yeah,
case.
Well, the court asked me. When I filed my brief, I didn't really want the case removed. I want this appeal decided on its merits.
Yeah, but the question is in which court.
Yes, that's a point. Yeah. And I believe
you didn't do too well in the federal court so far.
But I had to address the issue. The court asked me to address the issue, and I alerted the court that there may be a jurisdictional issue in here. And that was my point of doing it. It wasn't my point of trying to remove it at that time or trying to say it should be removed. There are so many intricate issues in this involving the EPA and particularly the OSHA requirements. Under the Grable decision, I think it gets to that, it's so intricately related, it gets to that point that this case cannot be decided without looking at those issues and looking at them and reviewing and adjudicating on them.
But isn't this case different from Grable or any of the other cases cited in your supplemental brief? There's no possibility, is there, that OSHA or any other federal agency's ability to carry out its duties will be affected, and no rights created by federal law are at issue, as they were in Grable.
Well, there are questions in here about the Washoe County Air Quality Board, which enforces the OSHA requirements there, the EPA requirements in Washoe County. Their involvement, their action and inactions. There was a complaint made to them, and the actions they took is an integral part of this. And did they comply with their legal obligation, I think, would have to be an issue addressed in this case. So I think the issue does, I think, raises that point.
All right. I understand what you're stating. I don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah.
Okay. It only makes three of you in this case we might have to reverse.
I don't think we need to bring in – no, we will not have to bring in the Air Quality Board as a party. No. As I said, this case is ready to go. I mean, we've done a tremendous amount of work on it. I would, you know, I'd like to. I said, yes, I did. I haven't done very well in federal court up to this point. However, I think if the merits of the actual appeal and the reason the case was decided against Mr. Glanton, I believe we have a good position. Should I address those, or you want me to continue? You have some more questions about the jurisdictional issue? Okay.
Well, just give it your best shot on the merits about why you should have won.
Okay. Well, there are just unlimited issues of fact in this case. There was that the that the court below ignored. The court, to give you a brief synopsis of what happened there, is up in the rooms in the what they call the North Tower of the hotel, all the guest rooms, the interstitial space, which I will refer to as the crawl space, is approximately 5 feet between the ceiling and the next floor up. And that's where they have all their mechanical equipment, such as the air conditioning, heating units, their piping and everything else. It's all run up in that area. In approximately 2001, the Washoe County Air Quality Board was out there and reviewed it and gave an opinion that they believed that the interstitial spaces had been contaminated with asbestos. And what the reason was is in each one of those rooms, there's four beams that run the full length of the building. They're approximately 5 feet high, and they're covered with a fire retardant. And it's been established that that fire retardant contains somewhere between 50 to 90% asbestos. And over the period of time, the fire retardant has started to decay and falling off these beams and falling onto the deck below. And there's in the record, I referenced there's several pictures of it, what it looks like, what that condition is.
Okay, now this is toxic and it's poisonous and it's bad for his health.
Yes.
And I'm circling back to jurisdiction now to make sure that I understand. And it is contrary to OSHA requirements for safe workplace?
Yeah, well, at that time, the EPA, what they call the PUE level, which is the permissible, I forgot what E stands for, something limited, the permissible level, is that if it's over a 0.1 when they measure it, asbestos is microscopic. You cannot see it.
Right.
You cannot smell it. You cannot, when you see it, you cannot see it. So it's not a known danger. You can't appreciate the danger just by looking at. It could be extremely highly dangerous, and in fact it is, as I argue. I got sidetracked.
The question was: Is it your position that this is a federal question case because the federal standards were violated in making this a toxic workplace?
Yes. When they did the study, what happened? The person from the EPA, or actually from the Air Quality Board, opined that he believed there was a problem there. Harrah's went out and retained private engineers, and they went up and measured the levels there, and they reported back that all the levels there exceeded the federal levels, and that they had to do something about it or they would face federal fines and there'd be ramifications if they didn't do something about it.
Okay.
And so then they made a determination how they were going to address the issue. That time, they bought in a board to review
it, and they wrote a report and
what they needed to do to address the issues. And in there, once again, that report dovetails all these EPA regulations and OSHA regulations.
Okay, so the district court got it wrong.
Because they did not, once they had the report requires them to do site testing annually, personal testing on it. Mr. Glanton, although he requested, his supervisor, his director, Mr. Don Long, who is head of the, specifically requested the right to do personal testing. They were denied.
You're out of time.
Okay.
But the ultimate disputed material issue of fact is what?
Well, that they did not, the judge basically said, well, they did a good, their efforts, what they did when they did the, when they did their abatement program.
Were good enough.
Sufficient. And I'm saying, and my argument is, I addressed in my.
And were good enough under what standard?
Under any standard, it wasn't good enough. They tried because.
Oh, no, I, the district court.
Well, the district court just said, essentially said that they addressed the issue. And it doesn't go from there. He just said they did a good, they addressed the issue after they were on notice of it, and they remedied it.
Okay.
But in fact, they did not remedy it. And that's the whole point of my argument.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Rick Roskelly. I'm here on behalf of the appellees in this case. I can see I've got my work cut out for me this morning. Let me address the federal question jurisdiction. As you, this court is well aware, there are two matters in which, two ways federal question jurisdiction may be invoked. One is when it's invoked by the pleading, by the plaintiff pleading a cause of action under federal law. That didn't happen in this case. So if we have federal jurisdiction today, it is based upon the second method, and that is when we have a state law claim that implicates significant federal issues. We believe that that is what we have here. We believe that this case is distinguishable from this Court's decision in Raines and falls much closer, if not squarely on point, with Grable. Let me address the Raines case first, briefly. In Raines, this Court, Judge Reinhart writing for the Court, said that there was not federal question jurisdiction because the plaintiff in that case had two alternate state causes, or not causes of action, but claims under the state claim. The state claim was a public policy claim. The plaintiff in that case said public policy is violated because the federal Title VII prohibits religious discrimination, California law prohibits religious discrimination, and the California Constitution prohibit discrimination. This Court said, well, we don't have to look at all three. If we look and see that there's a separate, independent, alternative state cause of action here or a basis for the state claim, i.e., the Constitution, then we see that there is a separate state grounds for finding public policy. We don't have to or we don't have federal jurisdiction because this is not based exclusively on the public policy under federal law. And the Court also left open the question, did not address specifically in footnote 7, the issue of what happens if we have a state law that adopts by implication or specifically adopts federal law. I would submit that we have in this case, perhaps the question was left open in footnote 7, and that is we have it's our contention that, number one, this case was litigated and pled as a violation of federal EPA and OSHA statutes. Straightforward. Worst case scenario, if you're going to find a state.
Well, how can you say it's pled simply on federal standard? It repeatedly says it's a violation of state laws and regulations in the complaint.
It does, Your Honor, and it's looking towards the it's a constructive discharge public policy tort that relies specifically on federal standards. Now, it does mention state regulations or state standards, but those regulations are the federal regulations because Nevada has adopted the FedOSHA program.
Well, I'm not sure I understand how that works. If state law were to say that if you don't follow federal safety requirements, then you're negligent per se, and an automobile manufacturer doesn't follow federal standards and the seatbelt mechanism fails, that doesn't turn an action in state court, product liability or whatever
action against the manufacturer in state court into a federal case, does it?
No, it doesn't, because this is not a per se standard. And that's the other way I was going to differentiate this case from the Supreme Court decision in Merrill Dow. And that is that we're not dealing with a negligence standard here. We're dealing with an intentional standard. By very fact of the tort that's alleged, we're alleging constructive discharge, which is an intentional tort. It's not a negligent tort. The part of the under the Nevada Supreme Court planks for that tort, you have to show that the plaintiff or the defendant, the employer in this case, knew or should have known of the unsafe.
Well, I understand this. So if we're in California, the California Supreme Court says it's a constructive discharge if you tell a person that he has to continue working under conditions that violate federal standards, and therefore he has an action against the employer for constructive discharge, and because he quits, says I'm not going to do it. Is that a federal case? That
in that particular situation, I believe it would be a federal case where they're relying specifically on federal standard and the enforcement of those federal standards.
Well, if the argument is going to be made, and how would the state court ever get to the point of deciding that that's constructive discharge under state law? Under your theory, you just remove it as soon as the argument was made, and then we wouldn't have any state law to follow, and we.
Well, the issue, though, is under the public policy tort and under constructive discharge, there's a whole panoply of allegations that can be made. Federal OSHA requirements or EPA requirements are just a very small portion. In fact, Nevada has recognized public policy torts in the area of workers' compensation, which is clearly a workers' compensation or a state issue only, and that's where the law has been developed. It's also recognized public policy torts in other areas that are clearly under state law domain. We're saying in this small area there's an exception carved out because the plaintiff in this case alleged specifically, and his whole case turns on proving violation of numerous federal regulations and statutes. On top of that, Nevada has specifically adopted the federal regulations as its regulations for enforcing OSHA standards.
And as I read our cases, in order to say that there is federal jurisdiction, there has to be a possibility that OSHA or any other federal agency ability to carry out its duties will be affected. Here, no federal agency will be affected.
I would disagree in the fact that here we had a situation where we had OSHA and EPA come in. There were complaints filed. They came in on numerous occasions. They reviewed the situation. They approved the plan that was in process. They failed. They did not issue any citations. And what Mr. Colvin is asking then the court to do, the Nevada court, if it goes to Nevada state court, would be to determine the validity, or not the validity, but the application of a federal regulation, which would have case law out there that may be of impediment to a federal agency or a state agency enforcing federal regulations.
Well, there's no private cause of action, and OSHA has its own internal policies for handling these kinds of complaints. So I guess I'm failing to see how allowing this here in federal court would affect them in any way.
Oh, there is no private cause of action. You're correct. But what happens is those, the case law that is decided becomes standard for employers challenging the decisions made by OSHA or the state agency. Those do work their way up through the court. It's not just the agency dealing with those on a one-time basis. Those will go to a review board. Those will go then for review by a trial court or the appellate court, depending upon the jurisdiction that they're in. So we believe that it can substantially interfere with the employers, with the interpretation application of those standards.
Are you saying that in Nevada, nothing can be a violation of state public policy regarding health and safety Unless it's contained in an OSHA regulation?
No, because Nevada has also implemented their own separate standards. As you're well aware, Fed OSHA says all states must have at least a minimum, they can either go under strictly under Fed OSHA, or if they adopt a state plan, their plan has to be at least as effective as federal OSHA. Well, Nevada has adopted all of the federal OSHA regulations, but on top of that, they have added their own regulations regarding cranes, regarding boilers, regarding explosive manufacturers, et cetera. Those are clearly only dealing with state concern. But to the extent that Nevada rests its laws specifically and only on federal law, which is the case here, and the plaintiff in this case has specifically repeatedly pled violation of federal OSHA and EPA laws, we believe that that's a narrow exception to
They said as well as other state regulations, state statutes, and state policy.
The problem is as the case was litigated, there were no others.
Well,
the
shouldn't have been litigated, so we don't get to that. If
But it was.
I shouldn't say if your opponent's correct. If the law is contrary to what you both think, and we have no jurisdiction, then it shouldn't have been litigated. We have to look at the pleadings.
You're correct, but we believe under Grable that this is a situation where it's much closer to the Grable decision than it was to the Raines decision, for the reason that we had a significant state a significant federal issue that was actually disputed. We had a dispute over the meaning of the federal regulations, what the employer's obligation was. We believe those were substantial. And the only question, I believe, really is whether or not that falls within the congressionally approved balance of between the federal and state jurisdiction. We would submit, I see my time is just about up, we would submit that it does fall within Grable still.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case just argued is submitted for decision. We'll hear the next case, which is